You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Can't rave enough about how good Audio Culture is. Check it out, audioculture.co.nz. And tonight we are lucky enough to have the one and only Colin Hogan here. How are you, mate? It's been a while. The last time you were in here, you were promoting a book.
Yeah, it was another one of my signal failures. The High Road, it was about cannabis. I went to America, did a road trip and checked it out. I thought the law was going to change here,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't.
God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Now, Colin, you've done, I guess it's, what is it? Is it a bit of a retrospective piece of some of your writings for the Auckland Star from 79 to 89? You were their music reviewer at the time.
Yeah. Well, it struck me as a sort of, I mean, it's a way of telling history in a funny way. You know, I quite like the idea of alternative histories.
Mm-hmm.
So tracing music through, I mean, I was just lucky, I suppose. I'm old now, but I was old enough then to be able to get into something and start reviewing local bands just at a time when it really started exploding, mm-hmm. with, just before Flying Nun and Propeller and those labels. But the local music scene was really taking off, and suddenly bands were playing original music. It mm-hmm. had all been cover bands before.
So it was sort of it came about through the bands were beginning to advertise their shows and their music through the Auckland Star, and yep. there's obviously then a directive to start reviewing stuff because it kind of becomes a circular thing then.
Yeah, I had a bit of a bee in my bonnet about local bands. There was someone else who'd review, I mean, he was good, I won't name him. You know, all the big bands that came through, but and I'd go and see the shows too, but there'd always be a local band supporting them, and they never got a mention, and it just seemed a bit rough because I suspected they were being paid nothing and they thought the exposure would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, the band thing started happening. I noticed they were taking ads in the paper, and I must have done an exercise, maybe with someone. We put all the ads together because they were scattered all through the place next to the sauna parlour ads and the death notices and everything, you know. And we put them all together to see how much they made. And they made like half a page of broadsheet newspaper, which was quite a lot, mm-hmm. you know. And so I somehow persuaded the editor that if he gave me the half page above those ads, you know, we could write about local music, and also that we should start perhaps reviewing local bands because they were doing original things and they had a big following. Mm-hmm. And somehow we convinced them, dear old thing.
Now, what from the early years, the early tinnitus years, what bands really started to, emerge and spring forth as like really exciting acts to watch? We're talking like very late 70s through to early 80s. Do you have some like?
Yeah, it was a sort of turn of the 80s really that started happening. Well, there were all sorts of things. I mean, there were Split Ends, there was Hello Sailor, there was such a range of music, and it was quite tribal too, because then the punk thing started happening, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the punks hated all those old farts and Hello Sailor, even though they were actually probably only 18 months older than them. You know, and then bands like Herbs emerged, and there was just so much going on. And sort of mixed all through that were, you know, groups that weren't even musical, like Limbs,
mm-hmm.
the dance group. I mean, I'd go and review a band and the support act would be Limbs, you know. So I'd have to write about dancing or try, you know. But it was all mixed up and really interesting and just all happening at once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a band would play the glue pot. They'd do three nights. They do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and some bands could pack it every night. It was quite extraordinary.
This is the thing which I've picked up on as perhaps missing from the live scene in the modern era, is bands just don't get the the hours or the opportunity to play five nights a week like they would have in the past, where they could just go up and down the country and play multiple venues in one city.
But also, no one got played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, local music was not played on the radio at all.
Yes.
You know. And if a local, I can remember a local record getting into the charts and you know, a complaint being laid officially against whoever did the charts by one of those radio stations because they couldn't believe that, you know, that could happen. So it was, I mean, it was a kind of, it wasn't a river, it was a rising, you know, something was rising up and it was sort of pushing for the charts to do something. There was a following for it. And the only way you could expose yourself to local music was to go and see it live.
Yes.
You know?
So is it just been the live aspect of it which has really perhaps changed some of the attitude toward local music and maybe just reducing some of that classic cultural cringe that New Zealanders seem to have for locally produced stuff?
Say again.
Is it just like people being out and seeing live stuff and seeing it live, which is, you know, maybe...
Oh, that we were as good as them.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, I reckon there's only a couple of areas where we excel in the arts. I mean, one is painting and the other one is in music, you know. I don't know, people just wrote great songs. They often weren't very good at playing them or singing them, but they were fantastic songs, you know, coming out of these, you know, guys who thought they were punks were actually writing terrific love songs, you know. It was fascinating. I mean, everyone was discovering it at once, but it was also very socially driven, you know, because everyone went out and with their mates and met up and drank a bit.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, popped out for a joint half-time and, you know, all that. It was... You know, it was just an intense scene. There was nothing else to do. Everyone did that, you know, at the weekends for 3 nights. And I was writing about it. So I was sort of out like, you know, 3 or 4 nights every week reviewing bands. It changes your mental makeup.
Yeah, no doubt. People, we're talking about Colin Hogg's series, which is up on audioculture.co.nz. There's 4 parts to it. Colin Hogg, The Tinnitus Years. Shall we drop into a song and then come back and have a bit more of a yarn?
Yeah.
Was there anything that springs to mind that you'd like to play from, I guess, from anywhere? I mean, I've just dragged in Skeptic's Mammoth.
Oh, yeah.
But is that fitting for...
No, that's fitting. Or, it's a bit of a go-to, but True Love by the Scavengers is a good one.
Okay.
The Marching Girls. I might prefer the Marching Girls version. They were the same band, really, but they did it twice.
Let's see. Oh, man, we've got so many true love songs in here. Here we go, Marching Girls.
Yep.
Yes, that easy. Oh, thank goodness. Here we go.
Engagement pretty soon. I turn 18 the other day. True love works in funny ways.
Marching Girls, True Love. Colin Hogg here in studio chatting about the Tinnitus Years, his four-part series, which is up on audioculture.co.nz. Now, we're looking at a period from 1979 to roughly 89 where you're writing for the Auckland Star.
Yeah.
And there's a serious emergence of Flying Nun Records happening at this time. Was Auckland just awash in Flying Nun?
No. I mean, Auckland had its own scene, and it turned out Christchurch and Dunedin had it. We didn't really know what was going on down there. I mean, yeah. God knows. I mean, I grew up in Invercargill, but I got out of there as quickly as possible. So we didn't really... And I think I heard the first record. What was it? Something, it was pretty ropey, I thought. I couldn't believe it. You know, I thought there's something going on, but I'm not sure how I feel about it, really. Because there was such a range of bands. You know, there was Hello Soda trying to be like the South Seas Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. And then there was Herbs sort of being Bob Marley and the Wailers, I suppose, sort of, but with their own songs, not putting them down at all. And then this other thing happened, which I suppose was a post-punk thing, but it sort of cooked separately in a way. There were punk bands here, but they were much more what you'd expect. You know, these guys came out of a sort of level of, you know, sort of primitive genius and musical inability that just sort of came together in some amazing way, you know. And some of them never really got much better, but stayed great, like The Clean, you know. You listen to their records all the way through, it never became too sophisticated or anything, you know, and that's its charm. So the Flying Nun sort of thing crept in. I remember the first band that made an enormous impact on me, you know, when Flying Nun was starting to happen, was the Gordons. I saw them at a pub called The Station down in Anzac Ave, and they were quite extraordinary, you know, not just because of the volume and the music, but just their attitude. They really didn't give a shit, you know. And, you know, you break a string, you spend 20 minutes retuning your guitar and not talking or looking at anyone. It was, I thought, well, this is really quite interesting. But the music was extraordinary, you know. It was Wagnerian, really, but with electricity. So it sort of crept in, you know. And then suddenly it was everywhere. But also we had Simon Gregg with Propeller Records up here, and there were, you know, local bands that were happening, Blam Blam Blam, the Screaming Mimes and bands like that, you know, Pneumatics. So it was separate scenes. Wellington seemed really small, hardly anything. There was a particular oddness about the bands from there at the time, you know. Yeah, it was quite regional.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it started meshing when bands started touring. That's what happened, I think, is what changed it. Because the touring circuit built up quite quickly.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And it's sort of, like, it was a sort of missionary thing. They were taking the message to the provinces, you know.
Yes.
And bands started forming out there, you know. Sticky Filth and bands like that, yeah. Yeah.
That provincial touring is, I feel, something which is quite special and remarkable. I spoke to a band the other day on the phone, and they'd just done like 14 shows in 15 days. Must have just played basically every single available venue up and down the country. It doesn't seem to happen quite so much these days, but you know, there's obviously an audience for it in the olden days.
Well, there was an excitement for it, and you couldn't get anywhere else. I mean, it wasn't on the radio, like I said, you know, the records were coming out, but if you heard the record, you wanted to see the band if you liked the record.
Yeah.
And bands would do that thing of touring off the back of a new single or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, not many bands did albums in those days. It was singles and EPs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and bands would sometimes, you know, there were famous sort of packages put together. There was an early Flying Nun one, and... Yeah, and there was the Screaming Blematics tour, I think, the Screaming Mimes and Blam 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 and someone else. So, no, there were clever people like Doug Hood and other people, you know, putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't think of themselves as promoters, but it's what they were, you know.
And you obviously had the opportunity to cover a bunch of the Sweetwaters music festivals.
Yeah.
How would you boil down that experience?
Still got scars. Well, it was a sort of biblical event. It went for like three, four days, and it was always in some godforsaken place way out of town. You had to stay there, really, somewhere, if you were lucky, to find a motel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Auckland Star took music very seriously by that point. So I'd go down and cover it, you know, day by day. And it was, you know, it was like Glastonbury, I suppose.
Yeah.
So every year started with Sweetwaters. Yeah. And some of them were quite interesting. There was a lot of great music, you know.
Yes.
And some bands really broke through as a result of playing there, you know. Like Near the World Dancing Tours.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Some Aussie band fell out of a sort of prime gig. And I don't know, someone plucked this band no one had heard of with a ridiculous name from nowhere and stuck them on, like late afternoon on the Saturday or something, and everyone saw them and whew, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, everyone, once again, we suggest you head along to Colin Hogg, the Tinnitus Years on audioculture.co.nz. Shall we go out on one more track? Colin, what would you like to play?
What about something from Herbs? There's a song, it's called Crazy Mon, M-O-N.
Let me have a look here.
It's not one of their usual ones. I like early Herbs. This is one of their drummer, Fred.
Just give me one second, I'm going to have to go deep on this.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, what do they call it? A deep one.
Deep cut?
Deep cut. I hate that word bangers that people use all the time. I keep thinking of sausages.
So, yeah, bangers and mash.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm going to have a quick little squiz here. What's next in the future for Colin Hogg? Are you still doing any music writing, mate?
No, I'd like to do more of these because due to various constraints, I've only got the first four chapters and there's probably another six to get through the end.
How big is the archive? How many?
It's enormous. I sometimes feel like I'm travelling with a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Used to put it under the house and hope it would rot.
Yes. Okay, hang on one second. What was that Herbs track again?
Crazy Mon, M-O-N, like man, but M-O-N.
Crazy Mon. Okay, here we go.
Oh, great.
We found it. Thanks to the wonders of technology. Thank you, Colin.
Pleasure.
And shout out Audio Culture.
I love Audio Culture.
Tomorrow, no more. see man, no more freedom. Is it so crazy believing what is right? Is it so crazy believing what is wrong? They say he's crazy. Will they ever learn?
On 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.